Hallelujah, the name is Christ. We commence a Q&A section. Before we go into a Q&A, let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and verse 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So quite often for us as human beings, we can have many questions, but it doesn't mean we can understand everything. Of course, every time there's a question, there will be an answer. But quite often that answer, if it's from God, then maybe you and I will not know the answer. So that's why we need to have faith, right? Even though there are certain questions that you and I cannot answer, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So that's why when we go through this Q&A, we must have this kind of mentality, right? Because in Deuteronomy 29:29 says what? Anybody memorize that? You guys didn't memorize it yet? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, right? But anything that is revealed belong to us, to our children, right? That we may what? That we may do the commandment of God. So in this verse, it tells that there's a lot of things that is secret that you and I cannot understand. Just like, can you explain to ants, you know, describe who we are as human beings? If the ants look at my toe, it's like, wow, that is Voodoo's toe. Right? Can the ants understand that? So I would describe to the ants, say, hey, ants, look at me, ants, right? Look at my toe. This toe belonged to me, right? And you know what? I'm 6 feet tall, right? And I have 11 size shoes, right? The ants, they don't understand. They do not know, right? So quite often when the Bible say, God, right, shine his face upon you, right? Does God has a face? Does God have a face? No, he doesn't have a face. The reason why I say this is for you and I to understand, right? So they call what? Anthropomorphism, right? So he become a human, right? He does things to humanize, right? So we can understand. You understand? Like anthropos, right? Anthropos is human, right? So he just become just like you and me. So he can understand God's eyes looks upon you. God have no eyes, right? He's everywhere. He has one big eye, right? But they use that, why? To make us understand, right? Just like when I talk to my nephew, especially when he's 4 years old, I cannot stand and talk to him like that. I have to kneel down and talk to him, right? Because if I get upset with him, I stand talking like this, he gets very scared. So I have to go down and talk to him like level, like face to face. So for God, it's the same way. So don't think there's so many things, especially for those of us who study, right, a lot. Especially psychology, philosophy, science, all those things. We just feel like, no, we must know something, right, about God. But in reality, if we know this much about God, and then actually he will not be our God. You understand? God is so, he's just so limitless, right? So limitless. So you and I have no idea about God. But one thing we need to know, that he died for us, and he shed his blood for us. So that's what we need to know. So that is the main important thing. So if you know, some question is there alien out there and things like that, right? If you believe there's alien out there, it's fine. But you know what? God is the one that created, right? You understand? Because he's God, right? But, you know, those kind of stuff. Okay, let's go to question. How can we tell between Antichrist, fake Christ, etc., from the true second coming of Jesus, right? So how can we tell between the Antichrist and the fake Christ, between the real one, right? Of course, here, the second part, when the second coming of Jesus Christ, everyone will know that it's Jesus Christ. Don't worry about that. When you talk about the Antichrist, right, what does it mean, Antichrist? Does he come out with a big horn and then have 666 on his forehead? Understand? So what is Antichrist mean? Right?
What does it mean?
What does anti mean?
Against, right? So against. So can you be the Antichrist?
Can you be the Antichrist? Yes. Can I be the Antichrist? Yes. So the Antichrist is anyone that goes against the teaching of God. So don't think that Antichrist will come with his big horn, right? His face is all red with what? With the pick in his hand, right? That's Antichrist. No, right? So, but how can we tell? Let's go to Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. Verse 15. Joseph, is there a way you can put the verses up there? Or no?
So you guys can see it more clearly.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and verse 16.
Verse 15, verse 16.
That's okay, Joseph, it's okay. Forget about. We're going to go a little bit faster. There's too many questions here. Okay, let's go 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Right? 16. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistle? Here, right? Let's go 17:2. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So on the end days, the false prophet will, what kind of clothing do they have? Tree will be a good fruit. So that's one determination, right? To know. So make sure, right? You can see, right? Some of the evangelists, the mega churches evangelists, I forgot his name, right? He's all preaching the word of God, this and that. And then they found him what? He had boys prostitutes. Right? You know that they be able to videotape him, stuff like that, right? Having sex with boys. And he's preaching all good, this and that, right? You guys didn't hear about that? Yeah. A lot of stuff like that happened, right? So that's why for us, don't just listen, right? Even the dragon out of his mouth, right? He can speak many things that is good. But look at the inside person. The way they act, what they do, and this and that, right? That's very important. Then let's go to 1 John. I'm sorry I cannot spend more time. All these questions, actually, they're very good questions. We should dedicate more time to talk to them, but we just have too many questions. 1 John, chapter 4. Let's start from chapter 3, verse 24 first. 3:24. John 3:24. 1 John 3:24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom has given, right? Then chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So here, right? Here. We know that there's four different kinds of spirits, right? Pastor Liang shared that with you guys, right? Four different kinds of spirits. But the spirit they're talking about here is what? What kind of spirit is this? When you test the spirit, right? Either the spirit of God, right, the spirit of truth, right, spirit of God, or the false spirit, or the false prophet, that is the spirit of Satan. Then what is the first sign? Look at verse chapter 4, verse 2. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So this is the first sign, right? For example, a rabbi, right, when he speaks, should you listen to a rabbi? Huh? A rabbi. Should you listen to him? No, why? Why shouldn't you listen to a rabbi? Huh? They don't believe what? Yes, they don't believe that Jesus is God, you understand? They don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh and died for you and I. So because of this, you should not listen to him, right? Why? Because this is one of the signs of the Antichrist. So the same thing, quite often when people say what? Say, oh, you know, they're talking about Trinity, proving one true God. They believe that, you know, for example, the Catholic Church, right? When they pray, who they pray to? Huh? The different saints, right? And who's the major saint they pray to? Mary, right? Peter, right? Should you pray to Peter and Mary? And who is Mary? Yes, she's a woman. You understand? Yeah, she's a mother, right? She's a woman, right? She's a woman of who? Jesus, right? Is she the mother of God? No, you understand? She's the mother of what? Jesus that exists for how many years? 33 years, right? See it? You understand it, right? She gave birth to the Jesus who lived for 33 years. But she's only a woman. Right? Just like all of you guys, women, right? Should we pray to you so you can pray to God? Of course not, right? Of course not. So all these things, actually, they must truly believe that Jesus is God himself. No one else, right? So this is the first sign. And then the second sign is on verse 4, right? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you greater is greater than he who is in the world. Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. What is the second sign here? What is the second sign of the Antichrist? What is the second sign of Antichrist? Huh? What's that? Yes. They speak what? The things of the world. And then what? A world will be attracted to them. Do you understand? This is very important. So when you listen to evangelists like Joel Osteen, right? He's the Antichrist, you understand? You understand that Joel Osteen is the Antichrist? Why? Because he speaks things of the world. That's all he does. He doesn't even believe that people sin and can die and go to hell. He doesn't believe any of those things, right? He's like, oh, that's between them and God. The Bible tells us already. If you sin, you go to hell. That's what it is, right? So that's why those mega churches, what do? Right? They speak the things of the world. Sometimes you go, you talk about financial matters, right? That's why when you come to a church, every time you feel it's so boring, right? Why do you think it's so boring? Because quite often the ministers always speak things pertaining to the thing that's in heaven, you understand? The spiritual thing. So if you're not a spiritual person, you listen to it, you feel like, oh man, boring. Why? Because you guys get stimulated by the things of earth, you understand? You understand? But now, the last 7 days, you guys been praying, right? A lot, right? When you listen to the word of God, do you feel differently? Do you feel differently? Why? Because you are more spiritual, that's why, right? For me as a minister, I love to listen to all the ministers. Why? Because when you listen to them, you just feel like, wow, it's so much wisdom in it. But if we don't pray, if we more earthly, right, more worldly, then we listen to them, you just feel like, boring, right? Then you'd be snoring up back there, right? Falling asleep. But it shouldn't be that way. So that's why our ministers really think about it. Whatever topic they want to speak, they will speak. They're not afraid, right? Talking about homosexuality, right? You hardly can go to any church anymore talking about homosexuality. You hardly can go to any church talking about what? Sexual sin. Why? Because adultery and stuff is being committed left and right. Everywhere, right? So there's a second sign. So when they speak the things of the world, right? But a lot of people follow them, right? It's so crazy, right? Sometimes, you see on the television, right, those evangelists, they put a pile of money, right? They say, send your money, right? Send your money, we'll pray over it. Then your money at home will grow even more, right? All the crazy people send money in, right? Joel Osteen, several months ago, they got robbed, right? The tithing, right? Someone stole it, right? And they say the tithing alone that one day is $600,000. Yeah, something like that, okay? You know how much he makes a year? Like $145 million a year. Yeah, you'd be like, ah. And he doesn't even take from the tithing. He doesn't get paid. He just gets from all the other stuff, right? I don't know what he does, but whatever, right? Okay? That's why you think about, right? And look at here this week, you have 5 ministers here, right? And look at the audience, how many audience here, right? Joel Osteen has like 20,000, 30,000 people every time he preach, right? And he make plenty of money, right? Why? Because what he speak, just like the Antichrist. And those who are worldly, for sure, those who are worldly are much more than those who are spiritual, right? And they listen to it, they feel like, oh, music to my ears, right? They love that kind of stuff. They love that kind of stuff. But you speak spiritual things, they just think it's Chinese. I mean, they don't understand. Just like me, I don't understand Chinese, right? Just like that, right? Okay? And then what? The 13th, chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So how do we know if they're antichrist or not? How do we know? Sisters, how do we know? How do we know? Here, quote that verse. Yes. When you speak things pertaining to the Bible and they listen to us, that person is from God. You understand? If you go to Africa, right? I went to Africa a couple of times. When I preach to the brothers and sisters there, everybody say amen. Right? The Holy Spirit just moved them, right? Why? Because they have the same spirit. If you go to other churches, speak to them about God, what do? They chastise you, this and that, right? Different spirit, I tell you. Different spirit. So what are the 3 things you can judge by the spirit of error? What was the first thing? Hello? What was the first thing? Counselor, put that on a test, please. What's that? Yes, let's not confess that Jesus is God. Come down, right? Jesus, God, come down in flesh. Okay. Then the second thing? What's that? Yes, they talk about what? The worldly things, right? They always speak about the worldly things. Okay? And then the third thing. Yes, they don't listen to the Bible. When we speak to them concerning the Bible, they don't want to listen to it. Then, of course, the main, the other thing is what? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. They must bear the fruit. Okay? All right? Let's go to the next one. Okay, any question to that? You guys understand that, right? You guys understand that? Okay, that last, okay. Next one. In 1 Peter 2:13 to 17, it teaches submission to government. They form resistant group to give the Nazi government, and there was crimes and actual, what is it? Yeah, I can't pronounce that word. But did these resistant fighters sin in fighting the Nazi government? Oh, okay. Okay, so that, okay. So the question is, we're supposed to be submissive to government, right? And authority. Yes, even though you are submissive to them, what is the exception? Yes, but there's another word. Even though you commit to them, but you have to be submissive to them, but as long as they don't go against the Bible, right? The same thing with our parents. Obey your parents what? In the Lord. You get it? The same thing, right? Be submissive to the government what? In the Lord. So if the government built this big statue of Obama and they want you to worship Obama, would you do it? No, right? Then if the government tell you, hey, go kill a person over there, right? Would you do it? No. You understand? Right? But war, right? War, of course, we do our best. But if there's war right now and there's a draft, right? We do our best not to get into it, right? But war is different than just killing people, you understand? You understand? Okay. So yes, you obey them, but make sure they don't go against the teaching of the Bible. Just like Daniel too, right? Okay. And toward the end days, many of us will be persecuted. Why? Because some of the things that the government want us to do, especially for TJC members, I'm telling you, toward the end, the trial and tribulation will come from inside and outside. And most likely outside. Why? Because the other Christian denomination, also the government. So be ready for that, right? Be ready for that. Right? Be ready for that. Okay? Then two. According to 1 Peter 2, 18-25, slaves should submit to their master. Does that mean emancipation proclamation and the abolition of slavery in 19th century was a sin? Okay. So, okay, you guys were 15, 16 years old, you asked some tough questions. Right? So here, quite often we always think that slave, right, is a bad thing, right? Slave is a bad thing. Why? Give me some situation that slave is a good thing. Are we, huh? Yeah, we also are slaves to God, you understand? But the thing is, the master is good and excellent, you understand? So slave itself, you know how many people would love to be slave, right? In a sense that a servant, a worker. So what, you can have food to eat, food for your family, right? Do you understand? So don't think slavery is bad because the word slavery is also what? Servant, right? Right now, you guys are slaves. Right now, you guys working to be slaves. I mean, going to school to be slaves. You understand? When are you going to become slaves, Joseph? Yeah, you're going to become slaves. Like, when are you going to become slave? When? Huh? Are you working right now? Yes, exactly. You're in school. You are a slave to school. You understand? Later on, what? You go to school to be a bigger slave. That's in work. Working is a slave. You understand? But slave what? You get paid for being a slave. You understand? You get paid. You can feed your family and things like that. So don't think slavery is bad, right? In Africa, everybody would love to be somebody's slave. But no, everybody is slave. But no, we can hire anybody because everybody is so poor. If you be able to work for someone, that is really a blessing, you understand? Right? But of course, the slavery in America is different, right, during our time, right? Do you understand? The slavery in America, well, it's discrimination, right? And all that kind of stuff, so that's not good, right? Right, that's not good. So for us, the Bible uses the same thing too, slaves, right? and working to for a company, going to school, you are slaves. Right? But you make sure you be a good slave. Right? You make sure be a good slave. Okay? That's answer your questions? Okay, next one. In Habakkuk, it says that Babylon is doomed for establishing cities through bloodshed. But wasn't that what God had the Israelites do to establish their country? Okay? So this is a very good question, right? So when God told, for example, for Joshua, you go, right, and conquer all the country and kill every one of them, right? But if you look at all the enemies, every single enemy represents what? Yes. Who say that? Yes. All the enemies represent sin. You understand? So when you kill sin, if you want to conquer the land, promised land, what must you do? You must kill all your enemies. If you want to go eternal life, you must kill all your sin. And that sin, when you kill it, from the mother, right, the women, the children, you kill all of it, right? Because if you allow any of those sin to live, including the little one, sooner or later will grow up and they will kill you. You understand? But actually, these other people who go against the Israelites, they're evildoers. Right? They go what? They go against the chosen people of God. Do you understand? Because even though quite often the Israelites sin against God, and then but when the enemy go against them, they go beyond, they're so wicked, right? They have no mercy at all. But God will revenge for us. Right? So just like sin nowadays, when sin go against us, you think sin have mercy? You think have Satan have mercy on us? No. The minute we are hooked, right? The minute we are hooked and his hook, forget about it, man. He will pull you up, right? And kill you. So that's why the enemy, that's why Satan on the end days, he will be destroyed, right? Because he caused many of us to sin against God. Okay? So look at it that way. Don't look at it from the other way. You must transcend your thoughts, your mind, right? Beyond time and space. A lot of things in the physical aspects of things. When you go to the promised land, you must destroy all your enemies. And what happened at the time when the Israelites didn't destroy all the enemies? That enemy actually make them slaves, you understand? If you don't control your sin, that sin will make you become slaves, right? Why? Because your weaknesses will fall into it. Then you cannot, you know, just like some of you, right? I don't know if some of you are addicted to video games, right? You are slaves of video games. And that kind of slave is not good. Why? Because you cannot get out of it, no matter what, right? You just steer plane. I think what, in Asia, in Japan, whatever, some of the kids, they die from playing video games, right? You heard about that from where? What country? Korea. Is it Korea? And why? And why did they die from playing video games? Huh? Yeah. So why? Why did they die? Most of them, why did they die from playing video games? Yes. They so addicted to playing video games, they don't get up and eat. So they die from starvation. No, we are laughing about that, right? But spiritually, the same thing. Quite often, we're so addicted to the things of this world, we don't get up and eat the spirit of the Word of God, right? We don't have enough nutrition to keep us alive, and sooner or later, we will die. Right? But it's sad, right? It's very sad, okay? It's very sad. Next question. Yeah. Sin. Is it a sin for Christian to run or work at a liquor store, casino, tobacco companies, or other similar business job? You won't be gambling. You won't be gambling or drinking, etc. Just working there, right? Okay. First, you know, hopefully your parents spend a lot of money for you to go to good college, right? So you don't have to work in liquor stores and things like that, right? But of course, I mean, can you work at 7-Eleven? Some 7-Eleven has liquor and stuff in there, right? Can you work in 7-Eleven? Yes, you can, right? But if the liquor store is everything is liquor, right? Then you should refrain from yourself, right? Working that kind of place. And please don't work at 7-Eleven here, right? Why? Because not because 7-Eleven is bad. Why? Because what's that? Yes, it's very dangerous. Right? 7-Eleven, that kind of store is very dangerous, right? So for us, of course, everything is submissible, right? But not everything edified. So the same thing, I mean, why would you want to work at the liquor store? Go to work at McDonald's, they pay the same thing, right? Okay. What about casinos? Why wouldn't you build casinos? Remember Lot, right? He moved to Sodom and Gomorrah. Was he the one that's fighting in battles and war? He did not, right? But he's the one that got, what, kidnapped too by them, right? So the same thing. If you work in this kind of place, right, casino, tobacco company, that kind of stuff, right, of course, for us, we know those things are not good, right? It's not good, right? When we work there, even though we don't do any of those things, right, this means in a way we think it's okay to work in that kind of place. We promote that kind of place, right? And for example, would you work in a nudie bar? Any one of you guys, would you do that? No, right? Why? Because nudie is not good for you, right? Everybody's not, no. But it's the same thing concept here also, right? Because like a full-blown liquor store, right? There's nothing but drunk people go there, you understand? Quite often, a lot of drunk and stuff go there, right? Okay. And of course, tobacco companies and stuff like that, I mean, it depends, right? Tobacco is, you know, just try our best, right? not to work in this kind of place. And so far, I have not heard, I know one sister worked in a casino. But she was not a member before. She used to work in a casino before she was a member. But now she's a member, it's very difficult for her not to work, right? But, yeah, she's trying to get away from it, right? Okay? So in other words that, yeah, I mean, I don't think none of you will end up working in this kind of place, right? What do you think? What do you guys think? Is that your goal? Is that your goal? I don't think so, right? I don't think so, right? Even for myself, I never work in those kind of places, right? I'm sure that you guys will do much better than me, right? Okay. Two. Okay. In the Bible, it permits Christians to drink alcohol, just not to point of drunkenness. Given that smoking cigarette is along the same line, can Christians smoke, right? First, what's the difference between smoking and drinking alcohol? Yes. Smoking will definitely, right, give you lung cancer, give you some kind of sickness, right? But drinking a little bit, right, actually is good for you, right? Like people in France, they drink wine all the time, right? But they drink, but actually it's good for them, right? If you do some research, right, about wine, stuff like that, actually, when you drink just a little, it's good for your body, right? It's good for your body. Okay? So, but can you smoke a little cigarette? It's good for you? No. Okay? So that's the difference. That's why we cannot smoke. Because smoke is, through many research, it will kill you on the end. Of course, an alcoholic, the same thing too. But drinking a little bit, right? But of course, if you know that you are prone to drinking, right? Like for me, I try my best never to touch any kind of drink. Right? For what, right? And before I came to Christ, I used to get drunk a lot of time, right? And there's many horrible stories, right? So for me, I try not to, but drinking a little bit is nothing wrong with it. I think the last time I went out with her father and her mother and some other church members, and they want me to try this, what is that beer? The Tao Sing, whatever beer, what is it? Is it Korean beer, Japanese beer? No, not sake, the other little beer, whatever. Tao Sing? Sing Tao. What kind of beer is that? I don't know. What's that? China, is it China? So they try, they say, taste it, like that. I go, okay, right? So I drank this, I'm telling the bottle is this much, right? I drank this much, that's it. Before I used to drink 24 cans of beer and I'm fine. You understand? Right? I drank this much, I had a hangover the next day. I could not believe I have a headache, I didn't feel good, right, this and that. So yeah, I can't touch anything anymore, right? And that's like, you know, I haven't touched anything for like 14 years, 15 years, 16 years, whatever, right? But of course, those kind of stuff, you know that, I mean, if you know you cannot handle drinking, I mean, I know some brother who's addicted to alcohol, and that's not good, right? But if you want to go out, eat a bowl of pasta, drink a glass of wine, it's fine. It's fine, there's nothing wrong with that, right? One day you have, you know, when you're with your wife, you're in France somewhere, you know, and you eat some seafood, right? Isn't that you want to drink a glass of wine, it's fine, right? Right? But beside that, right? Then smoking is never good. Yeah, you're so romantic. Let me smoke with my wife, right? And it's so good for you, right? Inhale the smoke from one another, right? No, it's not good. Smoking is bad. Smoking is bad for you, okay? Okay, next one. 3, is it against our Christian faith to play lottery? I understand as Christian we cannot gamble. That's include the lottery, right? Okay. First, why don't we gamble? What is the teaching behind gambling? Why? Why we shouldn't gamble? When you gamble, then what is the kind of mentality you have when you gamble? Will you say that? Greed. You understand? When you, all the gamblers, they are greedy. And that's why we don't gamble. That's why the lottery, right? For example, the state lottery, we should not play here, right? Because, you know, I used to work in a convenience store. Convenience store / restaurant, right? Restaurant. But this means you have no liquor and stuff like that, right? It just sells special Italian subs and things like that, right? But there's a restaurant too next to it, right? This guy used to come in. He used to be a bus driver. You know, bus driver makes a lot of money, right? Make a lot of money. So every single week, yeah, he makes like $35 an hour driving the bus. Yeah, it's pretty good, right? Back then was really good money. So every week, he get his paycheck, he come and he spend all on the lottery. The scratch cards, the lottery. I feel so sad for him, right? But he can't stop himself. He cannot stop himself. And I see mothers used to come in, right, buying the scratch card, this and that, and the kids, they're so hungry, right, want to buy something. The mother would slap them, shut up! And then they buy a scratch card and things like that. It's very sad. Addiction, right, to this kind of stuff. But if you go to, like, a banquet, for example, and you're like, oh, you can put $10, and then you can win, what is it, a raffle, that's fine. You understand? Raffle is very different, right? You understand? Raffle, they already have the prize there. Then if they pick your name, this means you're going to win, right? You donate $10 for that, $11 for that, right? But lottery, to win money, you're greedy for money, right? Quite often at this banquet, you just give $10, $20, to just donation, right? Donation forever for the cost, right? And things like that. So it just happened to pick your name, it's fine. But you don't do it, right? You don't buy 1,000 tickets so you can win a bike. Who would want to do that, right? You understand? But people do buy 1,000 tickets, try to win that $1 million, right? Or $20 million. That's very greedy. Yes? Okay. Okay, Kevin did not ask this question.
No,
I mean,
for that question.
Okay.
Well, like the scratch cards, they have like the thing at the bottom where it says like go to the website and you can do a second try.
Yes.
So, like my dad goes, and then like people throw away their scratch cards. Mm-hmm. You don't use the second try, so you grab a second try. Is that all right?
I never heard of that. That's, I have to think a little bit more about that, right? So he's not spending any money on a scratch card. He just found a scratch card and people doesn't utilize it, right? Yeah. So he can scratch it. I don't know. Right? I do not know. Yeah, for me, it's not a right thing to do, right? It's not a right thing to do. Why? Because actually, even when you do that, of course, even though you don't pay for it, but okay, you have this greediness, you want to win it, right? You want to win, right? And that's not a good thing. And of course, people who throw it away because they don't know, right? That's why they throw it away, right? But I'm sure later on they will catch up, right? They will know, right? So try our best, right? To don't get involved in this kind of stuff, work in a liquor store and things like that, you know? Right? Okay? Let's go to the next one. Next one. So no lottery playing. This is to lottery, right? No lottery playing. Okay? What can we do to observe the Sabbath day if we cannot go to church for that day, right? So it's a good question, right? The e-library is very good, right? For example, if you have a broken leg or something like that, you hurt yourself, you cannot go to church, you just stay home. So on Sabbath, just go to the e-library and listen to some sermons, right? Okay? Because don't think church is a physical building, right? Church is the minute you and another person in name Jesus Christ, we get together and study God's word, that is the church. So when you are sick, even you by yourself, there's another pastor giving sermon, there's two of you already, right? So you have your service there. But of course, we try, if you cannot go to church, but if you can, then you go to church. Why? Because to have fellowship with one another is very important, right? Okay? Next one. Can we lust after a spouse, for a spouse? Actually, when you have feelings for your spouse, it's no longer it's lusting, right? You have desire for your spouse, not lust after your spouse, right? Because when you lust, quite often it's something, right, that is not for you. That's why you lust after it, right? But for your spouse, I mean, you have desire for it, and that's good. You understand? That's good. If you're with your spouse, you're like, oh, man. You don't want to look at her, right? That's a problem. Yeah? That's a problem, right? Because if you don't look at your spouse, then who are you going to look? At another woman, right? At another woman. And that's bad. And that is bad, right? So I wouldn't use the word lust after a spouse, but rather have desire and yearning for a spouse. And this is a great thing. Right? This is a great thing. Okay? Just like we, like, for us, we can never say we lust after Jesus, right? Who would say such things? And even though he's our husband spiritually, right? Right? At the church, we are his wife, right? But we yearn for him, right? We desire for him. So in that kind of way, okay? You guys understand that one? Yeah, okay. 6. How can you control what you think? How do you prevent evil thoughts from going in your head? This is a very good question, right? So here, how can you prevent evil things that go into your head, right? And evil thoughts that's coming in. So the most important thing is you must read the Bible. It's very important. Why? Because when you read the Bible, and then we can feel the things going into your head, and prayer is also important. Every one of us, sometimes Satan just come and whisper in our ears, right? Even during prayer, right? Or think about this person, or think about that person, right? Think about money, think about job, think about career, right? Those kind of stuff. So if you pray enough and read enough and you still have that kind of thinking, then you must cast it out. Why? Because those bad things come to you because of Satan. Of course, sometimes because of yourself too, right? So that's why after you pray and read God's word, and then we know if it still continue to come into our head, this means Satan. So we must cast it out. I'm talking about in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast it out. And quite often you just say, hallelujah, 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 right? Hallelujah, hallelujah, right? Do you understand? You by doing that. So, I mean, even for myself, I do exactly the same thing, right? Sometimes when I go to the beach in Hawaii, I don't go to the beach too often, right? And quite often there's so many girls in the beach, right? And quite often had the bikini on and things like that, right? Of course, I shouldn't be there in the first place, right? But sometimes you have some visitors from, you know, our brother and sister come from, they want to go see Waikiki Beach, things like that. So I just walk, right? Walk with them, this and that, right? And we usually go during the daytime, like when it's really hot, nobody's out there, right? But if someone's out there, of course, if you see something, because I'm a man, right? I'm still a man, right? I'm still flesh, right? If something comes to my head, I just cast it out. Hallelujah. I just keep walking, right? Right? The same thing. When you go on the internet and stuff like that, you must be very careful, right? Because even you turn on your email, there's something, right? There's something. Actually, yeah. Eileen, your dad on his Facebook, right? There's a Sport Illustrated bikini models in front, and he put, I like. It's like, that's strange. Why would Andy do that, right? Right? Did you see that Facebook? You didn't see it, right? And like, because the Sport Illustrated is like 3 women in bikini, right? It's like his whole Facebook is full of that 3 thing, right? Like, what? That's strange. You know, because I know Andy, I know her dad pretty well. He would not do that kind of stuff, right? So my wife texts him, texts him, hey, you click on like by mistake, right? Because sometimes someone send you something, right? You just scroll and then it just clicked by itself. And that's what happened. Because I know Andy's on Facebook all the time, right? One time I went to a football game, like in Houston, to watch New England Patriots, right? And then also one of the brothers in Houston say, hey, are you going to lead service tonight? You're like, what? How you know I'm over here, right? How you know I'm watching the game? Because Andy put us on Facebook already. So, because sometimes things like that will happen, right? The same thing, Pastor Timothy, right? Pastor Timothy Young, some members suggested, hey, Pastor, one of the sisters, I think she put a lot of pictures on there that's not decent, right? He went there, and all the pictures came to his Facebook with all these sisters with bikini and stuff on, right? Then you can't get rid of it. You can't get rid of it, right? Even you say in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast you out. It's still there. It's still there, right? So that's all. So I'm sure if her dad would have said, if he truly liked the photograph, right, the picture of the bikini, he would never say, I'd like and put on Facebook. You understand? So that's why we know he made a mistake, right? But you have to be very careful. So that's why when you go on your email and things like that, so many dirty things will come, right? But the problem is if you don't have a great filter, if you don't have a good filter, then you'll be dirty too. For example, right, my fish tank. I know you heard my fish tank story. My fish tank is like a 40-gallon fish tank in my house. But I have the filter for what? About 500-gallon filter, right? So for 5 months, 6 months, I don't even clean my tank. You understand? Because my tank is only for 50 gallon, right? But I have filters for 500 gallon. So I don't need to clean it, right? Because it filters through everything. There's nothing go through my fish tank. So the same thing, right? The word of God and prayer, these are filters to filter all these things. Just like my backyard pond. My pond is about 4,000 gallon, right? But I bought the filter for 10,000 gallon. Almost triple, right? So I know that for 10,000 gallon, I leave about a month. Because my wife, she said to me, Voody, if you build a pond, I'm not going to take care of your fish. I'm not going to take care of your pond. I'm not going to do anything out there. And my wife is serious. She doesn't like to be outside, right? She's the opposite of me. I always like to be outside. So because of this, I had to buy filter for 10,000 gallon. Right? 10,000 gallon. So now when I go back a month or so, then it still runs, right? It still runs. But I have to clean it right away when I get back, right? The pond is different. I have about like 70 koi fish in my pond, right? So it's quite big. Okay, filter. Use the word of God and the spirit of God to filter everything, right? So even things come to your mind, you cast it out. Hallelujah! Cast it out, right? And quite often when I go on my computer, I hardly go on my computer anymore because I have Samsung phone now, right? The screen is big enough and her dad the one that forced me to get it, right? But he's a Samsung guy. He's a Samsung. So when I go on my computer, most of the time my passwords all have to do with the Bible and stuff. Sometimes my password is True Jesus Church, right? Right? Sometimes Seraphim, right? So when I go in there, I know my mind, right, actually, you know, is in God, right? And I hardly go on my internet unless my wife is around. You understand? Because, hey, I'm not going to put myself in a situation, right? Okay. So be smart like that, right? Be smart like that. So for all you guys, when we're talking about media, don't put your computer inside your room, any of those things. Even your parents say it's okay, it's not okay. Christ says it's not okay. Bring it out and put it in a common area. You understand? That's for your own sake, right? For your own sake. Because nowadays, you don't need TV anymore, right? You just go to your room, you have your phone, you have your, I don't know what you guys have, all these things, right? You can just stay in your room for like a week without coming out and you'll be fine, right? There's too many things to do. Right, there's too many things to do. That's why some kids just die, right? They don't come out of their room playing video games, right? Okay, cast it out, just say hallelujah, okay, when all these things come to your head. But make sure you pray and read. 7, can Christian do yoga? Yoga originates from Hindu worship of their gods. The moves done in yoga apparently are moves done to worship the Hindu deities. Thank God, right, this brother or sister who asked this question, right? They really understand what yoga is all about, and they are exactly right. Exactly right, okay? This I heard from some pastor and people in church. However, oh, okay, they heard from someone, okay? It's good that you remember. However, it seems that many of us practice yoga like in school. So can you do yoga, right? For me, I used to do kung fu and stuff before, right? And actually, kung fu, when you do qi gong and stuff like that, actually, it's not good for you. It's not good for you. Why? Because the move that you make actually to worship idols, just like in yoga, the same thing too, right? Yoga, the same thing too. But can you do karate? Karate. Yes, karate is fine. It's exercise, right? A lot of karate, you for exercise. It's all it is, right? But kung fu and stuff is more serious, right? Because when you do kung fu, unless you worship some kind of idols or your masters are teaching you, then you cannot advance. And every time you go to the school, you must worship idols. You must bow, you must worship. You cannot do this kind of stuff, right? But karate is just exercise, right? Of course, when you do stretching, normally it's fine too. But don't go into so serious doing yoga. Because yoga is true. Every movement, right, that they, of course, they westernize it, right? But the origin is still worshiping the idols. So try just do stretching. If you want to do yoga, just do stretching, right? Like when you guys do exercise out there, right? Hands over here, hand over there, that's fine, right? Okay, so don't try to do all those form and stuff like that, right? Okay? And then 8. Is it okay to cheat on a test if the teacher did not teach the curriculum at all? I see how cheating on a test that a teacher teach about for a week and then everybody study, they're really hard for it, is really wrong. But what if nothing was taught and nobody knows nothing? It doesn't seem to hurt anybody, and in this case, we would have every right to cheat. It's never right to cheat, right? It's never right to cheat. So in this situation, if your teacher did not teach the subject that you gave it on a test, what should you do? Yes, go tell the teacher, hey, teacher, I'm sorry, but this question that you asked, you never taught us before. And then if the teacher gives you some kind of, you know, attitude and things like that, just go to the head of the department, right? But to cheat, what? Cheat doesn't matter. Cheating is sinning against God, right? So in other words, sometimes maybe Satan wants you to cheat and sin against God. And the teacher moved the teacher, right, to ask a question that she never taught before. You understand? So you end up, what? You end up sinning against God, right? Cheating is never right. Cheating is never right. Okay. You know, for example, right? Quite often Christian have the mentality of Robin Hood mentality, right? Right? It's okay, right? As long as the ends justify the means, right? It's fine, right? So Robin Hood, according to God, who is Robin Hood? What is he? Huh? He's nothing but a sinner, you understand? They call him what? The Prince of Thief. To God, he's just a thief. Right? You understand? He's a thief. Why? Because even you steal from the poor and give to the rich, the rich to the poor, right? Can that justify for stealing it? No. So for us, always remember that. It doesn't matter what, sin is always a sin. It doesn't matter on the end, right? For example, right? If my wife has cancer, right? It's going to cost $500,000 for her to go through the surgery and this and that, right? Then I say, I love my wife very much. Let me go to the bank and rob the bank, right? I go rob the bank. Why? Because I love my wife. I don't want her to die. Is that right or wrong? Huh? Of course it's wrong. You guys should know it's wrong. Right? You understand? Instead what? Instead of going to rob the bank, I have to pray and fast to God. You understand? Even you go and get the $500,000 from bank doesn't mean your wife not going to die. You understand? So, yeah. The end never justifies the means. Okay? Okay. Next one. 2. Did the Israelites of the Old Testament fight battle on the Sabbath day when necessary? Is that breaking the fourth commandment if they did? Yeah, for me, you know, like throughout the whole week, this is my own experience, right? Throughout the whole week, I always struggle so much with my weaknesses, right? Always struggle, this and that. But the minute Friday nights come, I feel so much at peace. And Saturday, I always feel so much at peace. Why? Because for me, I truly believe that God always gives me rest, right? When Friday night come, when the Sabbath come. So for me, I'm sure that the Israelite, right? Because during 40 years, every Friday, what? They have to go out and collect the manna, right? But on Saturday, you cannot. Because it's Sabbath. Right? Because it's Sabbath. So for me, I don't think God would allow them or the enemy to attack them on Sabbath. Right? Sabbath. Just like for us, if you really notice yourself, right? For some reason, when it comes to Friday, if you're a godly person, if you're not a godly person, Monday to Friday, the same thing as Friday night to Saturday. It doesn't matter, right? But if you really pray, and you're really close to God, and you really feel like throughout the whole week you struggle so much, right? From doing good, from evil, doing good. But all of a sudden, when sunset, you just feel you have release. God really give you rest. from fighting the kind of battle. And these are my experiences. And for me, most likely they will not have to fight during the Sabbath day. Okay? Oh, I'm sorry, I went all over the place, didn't I? Did I? No, hold on. I just skipped one, did I? Okay. No. Oh, okay, yeah, I skipped one, I did. Yeah. Bible, number one, right? Do we believe in creationism, as it literally 7 days for creation, or the old earth view that the days were actually erased from or that the 7 days were in God's eyes, 1,000 years, right? So, no, for creation, right? Is the first day, the second day? Huh? Hey, look at the rectangular thing, remember? When God created, it's under what? Huh? It's under time and space. Because under time and space, it must go. 1, 2, 3 days, it must go like that, right? There's only one time that the sun stood still. And what time was that? During that time? Huh? Joshua, right? Prayed the sun stood still for what? 1 day, right? And then later on, it gained back 1 day because one of the kings, right? I forgot, one of the kings. So the day came back. But everything else, when God said what? It's in the beginning. First day, second day, third day. How do we know it's go 1 day, 2 days, right? Because God created what? The plants. What did God create? First. Okay, the first day. What did God create the first day? Okay. When did God create it? Let me see. So you can see each time that God created something, he always said the evening and morning is the first day, right? The evening and the morning, second day. So from evening to morning, it's considered 1 day, right? So this 1 day is 1 day. It's not 1,000 years. Okay? Okay, next one. Is the Bible sexist? Women seem to face a double standard in the Bible. Are they discriminated intentionally? So how do we answer this one? Are the Bible sexist? Because some of the feminist movement, right, they turn the Bible to all about her and she. They turn the Bible like, in the beginning God created, right? And if they use the word he, then it would she created. The heaven and earth. Yeah, you never seen that Bible before? Good, you should not need. No, we need to see it. Right. So, give some example that God, in the beginning, remember in the beginning, was Adam better than Eve and Eve better than Adam? In the beginning, no. Right. God just created Adam first. But after sin, right, who fell into temptation first? Eve. So that's why, thank God, maybe if Eve did not sin first, maybe you and I need to be pregnant, right, and have kids. And we know men we cannot handle. You know, men, we are so weak, we are so wimpy. Really? Because giving birth, right, is the most painful thing that anyone can go through in life. But men, you know, when I get a little cold, I'm a little sick, oh, please, honey, cook me some chicken soup, right? But women are very strong, right? But of course, in the Bible, so that's why after the sin, then men, right? Why? Because the curse is what? That women desire for their husband, right? So that was a curse from them, right? But of course, the Bible, when it comes to spiritual speaking, actually, soul, it doesn't matter you're crippled, you're short, you're black, you're white, you're pink, whatever. Soul is worth the same. And that's what you and I need to focus on, right? If God is perfect, why does the Bible say that God is jealous, right? For example, right, the question, is it okay to lust after your spouse? It's okay, right? Right? Desire, there's nothing wrong with that. So to be jealous, right? Someday, right, when you get married, Eileen, and you talk to many different guys, right, and your husband doesn't care, is that good or bad? That's bad, right? And why you say that is bad? Yes, doesn't mean he doesn't care about her. You understand? When you love something, right, you keep it close to your heart. And this, when God says jealous, what? It's a godly jealousy. It's very different than you and I think is jealous, right? Because when you and I are jealous, there's also godly jealousy, right? But some people, right, I know there's one of my patients, actually one of my co-worker, her sister, she married some dude, right? And this dude, he's a crazy person. So he locked her in the house. Right? He doesn't allow her to go anywhere, right? Because he doesn't want her to have any kind of freedom at all, right? So then she cannot go to the store. She cannot go buy anything. She can't go anywhere, right? And then, of course, her sister tells her, hey, what he does to you is not right, isn't that? And all of a sudden, the sister was missing. Her husband is gone and she was gone. So my co-worker is looking for her sister for a long time. Then one day she received a phone call that her husband took her somewhere that no one knows where they are and shaved her head and tied her. She have a chain and tied it into the house. That's it. You think that's a good jealousy? No, that's not. When you talk about jealousy, right? If you have a wife one day and some guy want to come, right? And talk to your wife and keep talking to your wife and, you know, you must go and say something. You understand? But of course, you must know the guy. If the guy is one of the church brothers, he's being friendly, it's fine, right? But if some dude off the street, right, try to pick on your wife, right? You must do something, right? Why? Because she's your wife. She belongs to you. It's very different, right? So when God, we are his bride, you understand? We are his bride. Then what? As his bride, we go around, right, and have adultery with everything out there. You think God can be happy? Every sin that you and I commit, we put doo-doo on ourselves, like I said before, right? Would you like it when you marry one day, your husband come home full of doo-doo? Then he said, oh, let me lay next to you. Yeah, you're not going to like it, you understand? I don't care how handsome your husband is. If he comes in with doo-doo, you throw him out, right? Of course, right? We hope so, right, Eileen? Yeah. You understand? So that's why you feel like this, right? And when, of course, when someone want to throw doo-doo on your wife, you have to, you understand, you have to do something about it, right? You have to do something about it. I remember, right, my wife, she's pretty awesome. Right? My wife's pretty awesome. One day, this is before Christ. This is before Christ. So I used to drive this, what time we have? What time does this class end? 45, right? Or 30, 30. Okay, we have about 5 minutes, okay? So I was driving this old beat-up car, right? And the gypsy, you know the gypsy? You know gypsy? They go from one place to the other, right? So there's three of them playing football on the street. So when I drove by, they say, hey, you want to fix your car? Right? I say, no thanks, right? And it's like, F you, right? Oh, man, for me, I'm like, oh, that is it. Because I wasn't in Christ back then. I have really bad temper, right? So I say to my wife, okay, I backed up my car. And I tell my wife, stay in the car. I'm going to go and fight with these three guys, right? Right? So I came out of the car, and I came around the car, and my wife came out of the car, too, and she rolled up her sleeve. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, three against one is not fair, right? So she wanted to fight with me. You understand? And then, of course, I go to the, you know, you have to look at the one who's the leader of the group, right? Then you make him afraid, then they will back down, right? Then what happened, right? Even one time, really, my wife, she's like, for her, why? Because she want to protect me, right? You understand, right? She's not going to let me say, okay, go and fight. Even though I tell her, I really don't want her to go out and fight, right? Because I'd be worried about her more than anything else, right? And one time we go and play streetball, right? And my wife said, we get next, right? Then this tall dude, right, come, one of them like 6'7", one of them like 6'4". And then they come and they say, oh, we get next, right? My wife say, no, I called next already, right? And they say, you B word like that, right? And then I went over there, right? I say, what do you say? This is all before Christ, right? I say, what do you say? I want you to repeat again, right? Then my wife tapped my shoulder. It's like, honey, I take care of it. Are you sure? She's like, yeah. So she was talking to the two guys, and then he just left. I have no idea what happened. She probably told, see, my husband over there, he's a killer. You don't want to mess with him, right? So when you talk about jealousy, right? So this means when someone wants to hurt, right? Want to hurt the thing that you love, or you do something to hurt yourself. When someone wants to take something that you love, you must do something about, right? This is godly jealousy, okay? We can study more about that, but God is perfect. Every feeling that he has is perfect. So for us, don't use a human concept, right? Okay, let's go to another one. 6. Let's go to 6 now, because the other one we did already, right? 6. In the Bible, there are several instances of the holy people cursing Elisha. Is that a sin because we are told not to curse? Even other insult us, like what happened to Elisha. Is this Elisha the one that all the youth call him? What? Hey, ball head, right? Why didn't you go up, right? This cursing is not swearing, right? Remember this youth, actually, if you read in the original text, this youth actually, their fathers, they are the four prophets, you understand? So they don't believe that his master ascended to heaven. So they are making fun of him, right? Right from the beginning, they were making fun of him, they call him bald head, this and that, right? When you curse, right, because they are the antichrist, understand? They're the one that don't believe in God. They don't believe that Elijah went up to heaven, right? This is the situation we're talking about, right? Then he just cursed them. And then, of course, the bear came and killed them, right? But nowadays, for us, of course, we should use more love, right? You understand? Because we understand that Jesus is love. Remember John and James, right? He said, hey, send the fire from heaven and kill all of them, right? And she said, no, right? Don't do that kind of stuff. For us, the same thing too, right? Same thing too. When someone, when someone do wrong to us and stuff like that, we must show them love, right? Show them love. But of course, this kind of cursing is that when those do evil against you, you must cast it out. You must curse it, right? For example, when I was in Hawaii, this crazy guy, right, during the spiritual convocation, we were sitting right during dinner time, and all of a sudden, there's a gate. He was swinging off the gate, right? Like a crazy person like that, right? Then his eyes, right, you know that he's possessed by evil spirit. So he came to talk to me, and he's sitting there. So he was sitting down, and then he just he was irritated for some reason or another, this and that, right? So I talked to him, this and that, right? And he said to me, "Why are you smiling?" He's like, "Why are you smiling?" I say, "What's wrong with smiling?" I say, "Why are you so grumpy?" Right? I say, "I'll tell you why you're grumpy, because you are filled with evil spirit. That's why you're grumpy, right?" And then he looked away like this. Then there were time, of course, he wanted to make me upset. I said, "Why don't you come to join us for service? We can pray for you." He's like, "How about if I pray for you?" That's what he said. I said, "Oh, that's good." I say, "It's never not prayer, right?" Prayer is always good, right? So what he's trying to do to me, he's trying to make me upset, right? And the things he does to me is he undermined me being a pastor. Right? First, he came, he does not know that I'm a pastor, you understand? But he told me I was a pastor. He said, "Oh, you're one of the pastors here, huh? You have two pastors here. You know how often we have two pastors there? Twice a year." There's no way this guy would know, right? But the evil spirit know, right? So what he does, he tried to, what? Make me upset, right? Make me upset by saying, "What? I'll pray for you, right? And this and that, why you're smiling, that kind of stuff, right?" But I wasn't upset, right? Because I know he was possessed by evil spirit. But there's another brother behind me, right? Because this person, then he started to use the F word. Right? Use the F word. Then his brother got, because his brother is very protective of me, right? Because I'm the pastor, right? You don't want the pastor to get beat up, you know? Right? And it's like, "You got to leave now. You got to leave," right? So, of course, and then he started to swear even more. Then you say, you get to leave. So during that time, say, brother, let's go. Let's go. Let's go after service. Just, let him go already, right? But the problem is Satan, he knew that to make this brother upset is by what? Cursing, by swearing. So every time this person, every time this possessed evil guy, the guy possessed the evil spirit curse, and then the brother was so upset. And then, of course, right, when the Satan knows how to make this brother upset, and on the end, the guy walked out of the garage, and then the brother walked behind him, then that evil guy turned around and rushed him, right, and Superman punched him. So they fell, and they both fell, and the brother just threw him. Thank God the brother didn't hit him, stuff like that, right? And I'm in between the whole thing, right? This and that, right? And thank God I didn't do anything, right? It would be so awful if I would have punched the guy or something, right? But the whole play went through my head. When all these things going on, I know exactly where to hit him, to knock him out, this and that, right? Because I look at him already, how, but he's still, thank God, right? But the brother, right, he ended up tore all his ligament in his thumb because he fell. He had need to have surgery. Now he's in cast for like a whole month. Because evil spirit, you cannot let him, you understand, when you try to, because the evil spirit know by swearing it aggravates his brother a lot. For me, it doesn't matter, right? That's why he didn't even curse, right? For me, try to do a different way to make me upset, undermine me being a pastor, right? But for me, it's okay. It's no big deal, right? So, but that's why it's important, right? So when people do something that is evil, you must show love. This person, you can tell he was possessed by evil spirit, right? Because he did not blink. He doesn't blink. And even when I told him, you have the evil spirit inside of you, he just turned around like that. And he couldn't look at me at all, right? That is evil spirit, right? He probably on drugs, he's an alcoholic, and also, of course, possessed by evil spirit, right? Okay. You guys want to continue a little bit more? You want to take a break? Huh? 35. Oh, 35. Okay, we have three more minutes. Okay. Which is the next one now? Oh, okay. People have found a gospel of Judas. Is it real? Do we add it to the Bible? I got this from History Channel. They say that the gospel of Judas stated that Judas was Jesus' favorite, and the other disciple did not like him, and Jesus need to lie, so Jews had to help him. Okay, it's all junk, right? It's all junk, yeah. The History Channel is very good, but when it comes to the Bible stuff, it's really junk. They don't know what they're talking about, right? So in other words, what? Yeah, just cross it out. I cross it out. Okay? Of course, even the book of Judas is real. It's written from some kind of some guy who's an antichrist. You understand? Right? And of course, how can anyone who say that Judas was Jesus' favorite disciple? That's nonsense, right? And who was Jesus' favorite disciples? Huh? Who? The disciple whom Jesus loved, right? Probably John, right? Of course, John, Peter, and James, those are the three guys, right? He always take them everywhere, right? He always take them everywhere, okay? So for sure, Judas was not the favorite. He's not even our favorite. How can he be Jesus' favorite, you know? But sometimes when you watch those kind of things, right, when they talk about the nonsense like this, I mean, I don't have cable and stuff like that, but sometimes I do, if I go to someone's house, talk about history and stuff like that. Like when I go to the dentist, I think Brian, one of the brothers, he's a dentist, he always put on History Channel. And while I get my teeth done, I watch the History Channel too, right? But of course, sometimes it's quite good, right, when they're based on fact and history. But when you talk about the Bible and the Ark, right, and stuff, they are nonsense. They don't know what they're talking about, right? They don't know what they're talking about. So that's why this kind of stuff, we should not believe it, right? We should not believe it, okay? So let's go one, prayer. If Jesus was praying to God, was he praying to himself? Of course, it's a yes and no, right? It's a yes and no, right? So Jesus prayed to God. Yes, he's praying to the Father. He's really praying to the Father. Don't think he faked it, no. But at the same time, he's praying to himself, right? Because he can be under time and space, but for us, it's hard to understand, hard to imagine, right? Because you and I are human, right? Anthropos, right? We are human. We cannot understand God. It's like ants cannot understand my toe, right? You cannot understand. So that's why, you know, for us, you know, this kind of thing, we must have faith, right? We must have faith, right? All right, I guess we need to take a break. I need to take a break. Pastor Hu's flight was delayed, so I will be taking his prayer session. Main prayer session, we can continue Q&A. If not, we can take one of my classes. We can do that, right? Because maybe Q&A for before prayer session, maybe you guys won't focus too much on praying, right? Maybe not, right? We'll think about it. Let's bow in praying sense.